August 1st, the first training camp edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Ira, it's kind of weird, man. 4 days in to training camp, and it's our first podcast because Thursday with players were just arriving, and here we are. So the readers, the listeners of JoeBucksFan.com, the massive amounts of listeners to your podcast on iTunes, Podbean. You're now on Google Play, Mr. Kaufman. What do you think of that?
All the better, baby. I want to be in Venezuela. I want to go to Zanzibar. Now, Lee, we're at a critical midpoint juncture. And because Steve just mentioned 4 days into training camp, and perhaps more importantly, 4 days away from takeover day.
Uh-oh.
We're right in the middle, baby. Right in the middle.
Well, I got something to say about takeover day. I mean, first, it's going to be very, very interesting. It's related to takeover day. I got a Twitter the other day from a guy in Moscow, not Idaho. Moscow, Russia. There's apparently a Bucks fan club.
Come on, you're making that up.
I swear to you, it's like 3 or 4 days old. And I was like, holy cow. And the guy was serious, and he wanted me. I generally don't follow people unless it's for information. And he wanted me to follow him. I didn't do it, but I might change my mind. Now, his handle was Bucks something, Bucks Central or something
Make
like that.
Make sure he doesn't hack Joe Bucks fan, gentlemen. Be careful about that.
I was going to say, he followed up by email saying, the King of Prussia has awarded you a winning lottery ticket, and we just need your account numbers.
Apparently in Russia.
The Kemper finds a Buck fan in Russia.
Well, the hype is real, Ira. Hype is real. I mean, you've got fans all over the world. I'm still waiting for one of your fans to download your podcast from the Vatican. That would seal the
all
deal.
All I know is Isbit said 3 months ago that this takeover day was going to be a game changer. And you know what? Judging from some of these recent crowds around Buck practice, Steve? Absolutely dead on Monday. Absolutely dead. Nothing going on.
Well, a couple things there. But first, Ira, your podcast is presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. August 1st, you know what that means. And, of course, Ira's pointing to his gear. He's wearing his very sleek white Edmore's.
As you are. As you are.
I am, too. I'm wearing the blue today. I don't always wear the blues, the colors. But we are in full Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon gear. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Ira. Just west of I-275 on Fletcher, 2016 Cadillac Dealer of the Year. How about that? Edmore's Cadillac Tampa.
You mean the Florida Dealer of the Year or like a national?
No, we're talking Dealer of the Year. Now, I don't have all the specifics, but it's right on their website. And as they say right there, it's not bragging if you back it up. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, we're very proud of them, very happy for them. And you can check them out at edmorescadillactampa.com. Now, Edmore's, Ira, 70 years, more than 70 years of Edmore's dealerships across the state of Florida.
That's more years than I've been covering the Bucks, DeKemper.
Only by give or take a couple
give
months.
Or take.
Come on, you started with the Giants in 49. So,
79.
49, 70, whatever. but look, Edmore's, you know, that's just not some made-up name. Edmore's was a real person, the founder of the dealership. It's still family-owned. Same family. You're going to find that family right at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. And Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, those are the two Hillsborough County Cadillac dealerships, Ira. So living in the center of the county there, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. You can visit, check out all the great deals, all the great offers, and expect the same experience from Edmore's. So if you're thinking about a Cadillac, if you fantasize about a Cadillac like Ira, and if you want a good education on a Cadillac, because maybe you think you can't afford one, but they're very affordable.
Now, let me take this occasion to congratulate Mr. Isbitz, Lee, on his podcast, which just began yesterday on Monday. And I wish you the best of luck, Stephen.
Well, Ira, you know, we're just evolving in our podcast realm here, one step at a time. This was in the works. It wasn't in response to anything that happened on the local airwaves. Lee's going to be next, which should be exciting. And we're just getting rolling here. Always trying to give some different takes. But don't worry, Ira. You know, when you rank third in the podcast wars, which you're so obsessed with, don't worry about it.
I got to give Pulaski credit, you know, the commission. He's running away with this title, Lee. He's leaving he's leaving me in the dust. But you know what? It's all under the Joe Bucks fan umbrella. So, yeah. You know, it's all good.
I got to drop the word of the day. I meant to do it earlier. It's going to be awkward. But
Guile?
Not Guile, but right. Somewhat close. Your Edmore's gear? I've got a better word than gear.
What do you got?
Regalia.
Oh, I like regalia. Steve, remember that word regalia. You can't spell it, but
Edmore's regalia.
Thank you, Ira. While you guys were blubbering there, I was visiting.
He was looking at Hooters girls.
No, I was visiting EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com, and while this offer may be expiring, new 2017 Cadillac Escalade, luxury edition, $899 a month. Escalade, I could see you in that, Ira. I can see you. But first, actually, go to edmorescadillacbrandon.com. A lot of great pre-owned options, all kinds of things. August is going to be another great month there with the summer sales event that's been going on. So we're excited about that.
They've been a very loyal sponsor for me personally.
Yes.
Do appreciate it.
Now, you mentioned the stick carriers. I got to say something while I'm thinking of it right now. But the stick carriers, and you said yesterday, today is Monday, we're at One Buck
Tuesday,
Palace.
Tuesday.
No, today is Monday. The broadcast is Tuesday. Okay. We're broadcasting on, or we're recording on Monday. It was dead today, the crowd. However, there was quite a few people here. It wasn't packed today, but I'd say about 90% full, borderline.
But it wasn't the general public.
No, it was closed. It was closed. But what I'm getting at is when it was open for the general public, not only has it been raucous, it has been packed. So if someone is listening and they want to join the group, join the stick carriers, when I say get here early, I'm talking when the gates open. You may not get a seat because the first couple practices, there was not a seat to be had.
And, Steve, remember, it's a smaller area for fans with the new facility going up, the indoor facility. It's taken up some of the room and that whole back section.
Yeah, it used to have end zone seats. No longer.
You know, those Saturday stick carriers, I think they're going to get out there early.
Well, let me say three things about that. One, yes, there's less seating this year. What we can see, what's been visible, is maybe 80% of what they had last year. So it's tighter on the seating. Fans have been pumped up. But I don't rule out the fact that, A, the Bucks are going to be prepared for stick carrier day. There might be some extra accommodations. And I don't want to scare anybody away. Just come early, grab a seat. It's just like any other training camp day. But the crazies are going to be out there cheering and chanting. And even if you just want to watch training camp and enjoy a great spectacle, I would recommend it. But there is room. There is room for the Bucks to do some things for fans. We've seen what they did during some of the VIPs, what do you call it? VIP-like
alumni days and things.
Spring practices.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways for the Bucks to accommodate, and they know what's coming. So don't be scared. Come on out. Come early. Practice is at 8:45. You're getting up early anyway. I know Justin Pulaski is going to be Saturday. He'll be there and ready when the gates open at 7:30. And the fun will begin. All right, Iris. So, here we go. Training camp. 4 days in. Sage of Tampa Bay Sports has observed what's gone on here. And you've attended 37 training camps in your career. 47, 95,
and a lot of them outside of the Tampa Bay area.
All over the place, including tons of them here. You know, what's going on here? There's a sense of camaraderie, which is interesting. What else are you seeing? What are you feeling?
Well, the first thing that you always say, 4 days at the training camp. It never changes, and it never should change. No major injuries. That is number one. And I don't mean Swaggy Baker taking a day off, on a Monday.
Iverson?
As a precaution. Iverson. That doesn't count. You read the stories about all the 31 other teams that are training and the practices.
Guys are getting carted off. Yeah.
Guys are getting carted off. So I don't want to jinx anybody. I don't want the stick carriers upset with me that I'm jinxing anything. So far, so good, gentlemen. So far, so good. As a matter of fact, on the Sweezy Beckwith front, some guys that did have some injury concerns, it's all good there.
So far, so good, yep.
As a matter of fact, speaking of Sweezy, and I'll start off the podcast right here. I tracked down Ali Marpet. I walked across the field in a pouring rain, Mr. DeKemper.
I was there.
While you were huddled underneath, listening to Dirk Cutter with your head covered.
I was out and about myself.
I'm over there. I tracked Marpet down. He was signing autographs very diligently, by the way, as most Buck fan players do. And I sidle up to him, and he goes, "What do you want?" And and he goes, "Do you want, you want to talk to me?" And I said, "Yeah." Anyway, I asked him about Sweezy, and now Sweezy's off his right shoulder, off Marpet's right shoulder, and he goes, "Strong as a bull." Quote: "If he gets his hands on you, game over."
Wow,
that's a heck of a quote from Marpet. He says he's got the strongest hands imaginable.
Wow,
and so far so good with Sweezy's back. We haven't heard any problems. And then you look at Beckwith. Steve Beckwith, I'm watching him, some of the video today from NFL Network. The guy's quick as a cat, shows zero complications from the knee surgery. And can he cover ground in a hurry when that play's unfolding. None of us are going to be shocked if he's starting at strong side linebacker sooner rather than later. You hear that, Devontae Bond? Get your butt out there because you got competition. They love Beckwith. And it's not the worst thing in the world. They got two LSU alums side by side with him and Quan. So Look, no injuries, Steve, to make a long story short. No injuries of note. A lot of fan interest and a lot of expectations and a lot of Hard Knocks cameras. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, they haven't been getting in the way too much. I think Hard Knocks people are professionals. They've done this a lot before. They know how to do it. I don't think they're as intrusive as I or maybe some of the fans thought they would be. So give some kudos to the Hard Knocks people.
Prior to training camp, when you talked to Dirk Cutter about Hard Knocks, because he went through it with the Falcons, and he said, you know, after the first couple of days, you don't even know if they're there. He's right. I mean, after the first, you know, the second day of practice, unless after practice I saw them following somebody, I didn't even know they were there. And they're not intrusive. What's the proper word? Unintrusive?
Circumspect, maybe.
There, that's a better word. That's I love your vocabulary,
circumspect,
man.
Regalia. Circumspect. And Steve, you know, from a media perspective, can we complain about getting a look inside Cutter's speech to the rookies?
That was great.
We probably wouldn't have got that on Buccaneers.com.
Never.
Yeah,
never.
That video's on JoeBucksFan.com. You might have to go back a couple of pages, but it was good look. A little teaser that they put out there, a little trailer on him giving a speech in the, inside the One Buck Palace Auditorium with the rookies taking notes about it. Was an inspirational, motivational.
You're going to get your opportunity. That's right, and you better take advantage.
And he was also telling him, look, most of you ain't going to make it. Anyway, it was just very well done. Very well done, but great peek.
What did you think about the other clip with Jameis observing, if not moderating, a couple of cockroaches mating?
I don't know where the hell they put him up to that. But, you know, Winston's going to cooperate with whatever they ask, you know, mm-hmm. as long as the Bucks sign off on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And where do you go from there, Lee? You know, it's early in training camp. You got another couple of weeks to fill. But Jameis seems to be in a tremendous mood. When you look at the weapons around him, why wouldn't he
be? Why wouldn't you?
Now, here's one other part about my Marpet discussion. And I said to him, you know, look, you've got all these weapons. Nobody's questioning the weapons around Jameis Winston. He goes, right. But I said, but if you five guys don't get do your job, none of it's going to matter. Mm-hmm. The shiny new one. He goes, teams go as their offensive line goes. And we got to do a better job, especially in the running game. You hear that, Isbit? Running game.
Spoken like a true offensive lineman.
he said they did not do a good job opening holes for the run last year. And you and the three of us could have told them that. I didn't care if it was your man Sims. I didn't care if it was, of course, Doug Martin. The holes were scarce. And that's why I think Jacquizz Rodgers' 4.3 average was fairly impressive, guys.
A couple of things on the Hard Knocks. I'm not ignoring your Jacquizz lead in there, Ira, since you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Hard Knocks, we don't know. I mean, there's so much behind the scenes as far as them being invasive and what's shown up. And I think a lot of the stuff that could be polarizing and could be eye-opening and controversial is the stuff we'll see in the first episode. And we're right. A week away now from the first episode.
But as far as how training camps are developing,
sure.
they don't seem to
sure,
be
sure, they're not running
way.
On the field and, yeah. and sprinting into the huddle or anything like that. But they're around. I asked Levante David today. We had a little one-on-one time, me and Levante. And I asked him, hey, you told everybody you wanted to hide from Hard Knocks. How's it going? How's the hiding going? And he laughed. He said, it's going pretty good. I'm doing my best to get away from him. And, you know, he agreed that, sure, that they're not that in. It's not that big a deal, but they are there, and he's looking for him, and he's sort of...
If Quan grabs a spotlight, like I think he will mm-hmm. before this thing's over, I think Levante David's going to be happy with that. He wants to stay in the shadows.
Oh. Yeah, he does want to stay in the shadows. I'm going to ask a couple questions about Hard Knocks, Ira. Mike Florio, who we all know, ProFootballTalk.com, and I love the guy. I think he's just brilliant.
He's good
at
what he does.
Yeah.
He's good at what he does.
He is absolutely 100% convinced that there's script writing going on with Hard Knocks. You know, he thought that DeSean Jackson, Todd Monken, when Todd Monken said, hey, you're being paid to do here, not what you did in the past, he thought that was coerced by Hard Knocks.
And maybe some of the McCoy remarks also.
He absolutely thought McCoy was a stunt for Hard Knocks. And his latest, and generally, Steve and I at JoeBucksFan.com, we don't care about the number six right tackle or what, we don't care. But the Bucks let go of a couple of ham and eggers yesterday. Florio said that was content for Hard Knocks.
I think that's pushing it, Steve. Nobody knows these guys, including Hard Knocks.
Well,
and diehard football fans don't know these
Ira,
guys.
This is part of my point. Look,
is that going to get you to watch a Hard Knocks episode? I mean, come on.
No. But but stuff goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Like, I'll give you an example, right? So Daquan Bowers comes out on Twitter. He's playing.
Oh, my goodness.
He's playing in the CFL, and he comes out, and he basically curses out Jason Light, says he doesn't listen to his players, and implies that the guys don't like him. Well, that was just the other day. Well, did the cameras catch Light talking about Bowers in a meeting room where some coach brings that up, and the Light didn't even realize that it was a big deal? But then the other D lineman hear what he says about Bowers, and maybe you know what I mean?
They text him.
And he's their buddy, and you know, we just don't know. It's fun. The one neat thing, JJ Wilcox, new safety from Dallas.
I asked him
about Hard Knocks. And he said, I thought it was a very telling quote. I didn't write it up yet for Joe Bucks fan. Plenty of time for that. He said, look, man, I played in Dallas. There's cameras and media everywhere. Everything is magnified 10 times over. This is really nothing. It's like being in with the Cowboys.
Hey, let me put a little – this is for you, DeKemper. Let me put Mr. Bowers in perspective just for a moment, because I love this. I don't think – you can't make this stuff up. It's got to be – I'm thinking Schiano's first year or second year. I can't remember. But Schiano, you know, during the OTAs or whatever, Bowers has the left end job. It is Daquan Bowers. He is our man. We're relying on him. We trust him. And we expect a heck of a performance. Well, fast forward the first day of training camp. He's out of shape.
Yep.
He's out of shape. That tells me everything you got to know about Bowers. He is the anti-Jameis Winston, the anti-Kiko, the anti-Quan Alexander. He didn't love football, pure and simple.
Yeah, that's Steve's pet peeve. Steve always talks about that. He was handed a freaking starting job, and in response, he was out of shape.
Steve, every time you put a microphone in front of him, he couldn't stop. He couldn't shut him up.
Always talked.
It was Greg Schiano himself who stuck his neck out and called Daquan Bowers a double-digit sack guy, and then Bowers showed up out of shape for camp, and then Schiano played him all these extra reps, even in preseason games, to try to teach him a lesson, and it's like Bowers was struggling against second teamers. It was a colossal cluster.
The thing about Bowers just firing off on Light the other day, of all people, Light tried to resuscitate his career. He was gone. He was out of the NFL. The Bucs had a bunch of injuries. Light brought him back.
That really seemed to come out of left field, Steve. It really did.
It did, but where does it go as it relates to Hard Knocks? I mean, I'm sure it was something that came up somewhere in the meeting rooms. Because, I mean, you know, he's
Daquan Bowers. The general manager, yeah.
The GM, he's cursing him out. He's talking about teammates, and it's not like Bowers was a huge troublemaker aside from his gun hassle in New York. Anyway.
But meanwhile, while Bowers is saying that, Steve, the camaraderie factor here at One Buck Place seems to be at an all-time high. McCoy referenced it the other day. Other players are talking about it, veterans. People like the atmosphere around here. They like the vibe around this place. They love the facility. Mm-hmm. And now, especially with the indoor facility.
You make it sound like a golf course.
And
compared to the old place, it is, isn't it?
You know, now look, I'm not saying that there's not going to be any bumps down the road. Mm-hmm. There is. There is always going to be. And there's going to be injuries. Mm-hmm. Not a question of if. And that's where the depth issue will come in for every team. But as we stand here right now, less than a week into camp and a little over a week away from the first preseason game, I don't think Light and Cutter could script it any better.
I think you're right.
Guys are having a good time. The weather's cooperating.
Yeah, the last couple of practices is perfect. Here's one for you, when you're talking about the camaraderie. And I've talked to several players, and they're saying the same things you're hearing. The first day of training camp, no one likes the first day. Well, fans do, of course. And I guess some media do because we're finally talking about current events. Players, they don't want to go to training camp. I've never met a football player that wanted to go to training camp. So it's the first practice. After the practice, every one of these guys were joking around, smiling. I'm like, what's going on here? You guys, usually they're just like, they can't wait to get off the field. They can't wait to get in the air conditioning. They're hating life. And every one of these guys, whether it was Adam Humphries or Quan Alexander or Damar Dotson, I talked to like four or five guys, Noah Spence. It was like they were having a blast. And then I started asking them, like, you're having a lot of fun. What about work? Oh, no, we have to get work done. And basically it's coming down from Dirk Cutter. I thought initially it was Jameis with his personality, his cult of personality that was rubbing off on people. And Jameis is like that. He's a hard worker. We all know that. And he's high on life. He's like Dick Vitale. He's like high loving life, you know. So I thought all this was emanating from Jameis. And all these players were like, well, yeah, Jameis is part of it. He goes, but it's Cutter. Cutter's like, hey, we got to get this done. We got to do X, Y, and Z. But that doesn't mean we can't have fun, too. And every player, they're like, that's why we love Dirk Cutter. He appreciates us. He looks out for us.
Well, Ira, before I rip into you for saying a couple of things that make no sense, let me announce this, okay? Because we do have a big announcement today. We've talked about this months ago. We hinted at it. Now we have all the details available for everyone. And this is very, very
exciting.
You're
going to do the announcement first or the ripping calf?
No, I'm going to announce first.
Saves the best for last.
A new sponsor on JoeBucksFan.com, FanRetreat.com. Fantastic website. You'll learn more about them. As simply stated, they've combined like a StubHub concept, secondary market tickets for all events with an Expedia.com so you can get flights and hotels and rent cars anywhere. And they just put it all on one site.
Like a one-touch thing.
Yeah, like a one-stop shop for any fan. But you don't have to be a fan to go to Fan Retreat and get a ticket deal to wherever you're going. It's independent sites. And, you know, meaning that it's all one website at fanretreat.com, but you can just book travel there. You can just book a rent a car. You can just book tickets. You can also interact with other fans because we get it all the time on JoeBucksFan.com. The fan says, hey, I'm going to Chicago. Can I meet up with somebody? Who's going there? Where's the tailgate? They have an option for fans to do that. But fanretreat.com is a very smart new company. And they're not even that new. They're just they're launching here nationally now.
They're advertising with us. Of course they're smart.
Did you meet the guy here at training camp the other day, Steve?
CEO Sean Lemon, good friend of mine. Of course I talked to him the other day. You call him the guy. What is this? The guy. The guy.
Like some guy. I want to meet the guy.
Some
guy
lurking in the shadows wearing a fedora and a trench coat.
Yeah, the guy. JoeBucksFan.com and FanRetreat.com. They are working together on the first fan retreat, which means a fan meetup, a party the night before opening day in South Florida. So, of course, Fan Retreat being a great company, fanretreat.com, they decided we want Mr. Kaufman at the party. We want Mr. Kaufman being the guest of honor, running a Bucks Q&A, mingling, pressing the flesh, because that's what he likes to do. And fanretreat.com, it's all the details now are at fanretreat.com/Miami. The party event starts at 5:30 p.m., goes to 7:30. It's at the Hampton Inn in Miramar. All the details at fanretreat.com/Miami, or you can get there on joebucksfan.com. Ira's the featured speaker. And although Ira's a great speaker, we have to say free beer, free food.
You better have ordered a big room because there's going to be a lot of people there.
So free beer, free food, and Ira
Kaufman.
I'm
saving a couple of good stories for these people.
And Bucks fans in the house, serious Bucks fans who travel. What a great fun time. There'll be giveaways. Go to fanretreat.com/Miami. You can reserve your spot, but you don't have to have a reservation. If you reserve, you're in the mix for a cool prize, but you can just show up, and all the details are there. Ira's going to be just in heaven with all these people.
And you would assume a lot of these people are going to the game the next day, right?
Well, obviously. How many Bucks fans are going to be at that game? 4,000 or 5,000 probably? Hey, come on over to the big Fan Retreat event. All the details are on the website. So, Ira, we'll talk about more about that, but it's exciting.
What if they got me body surfing in that room or something, Steve? Am I in danger?
You'll be an Instagram star.
Well, yes, prepare yourself to be all over social media, Ira. Your Q&A is going to be fantastic. Hopefully, we're expecting...
You might have some Buck personnel in the house.
I don't know about that, but they're expecting to throw it out on Twitter Live, on Facebook Live. So you'll be out there night before the game. And I don't feel like I have to hide that you're going to be staying at the hotel. So when the party's over, if you want to throw Ira $100 to chat with you, he'll take it.
The guy going
to
have a Riesling behind the bar over there?
Beet salad.
Beet salad. There you go.
I actually have a couple of ideas for Riesling.
Well, Sunday morning?
Sunday morning?
Just go to YouTube and type in Ira Kaufman body surfing.
I know Lee's going out to Miami. I'm sure he'll babysit you there, make sure you stay out of trouble and all that stuff. All right. So, Ira, back.
And that's the game that the Bucks get their season off to the proper start, right, Stephen? But with a victory.
We hope so. We don't have to make predictions today.
I dare say.
Yeah, Ira's got all serious.
If the Bucks do win that game in week one, unlike 2016, they will not have a letdown in week two and let it go to their head.
Well, I don't think, to be perfectly honest, if we're going to talk recent Bucks history. The last time they won 10 games, last time they had a winning season, and what happened the next season? Their quarterback goes mental.
Not winning season. Winning season last year.
Yeah, I'm saying in 2010, they had 10 wins.
Yeah.
2011, all hell broke loose. The quarterback went mental, And it was the season.
The irony is they started pretty well that next season.
4-2, wasn't it?
Four and two. I don't even think it was the quarterback really. Then he didn't go mental in 2011. The rest of the team did, and then it was his turn in 2013.
They quit. They did quit, and you hate to use that word, but there's no other word to use.
If I remember,
we saw it in front of us.
England, and that
he did.
I got a question for you.
Well, I was going to rip you apart
before
now,
you
but go ahead. Yeah.
Before you rip, and this might be part of the rip job.
He's stalling.
Are we overhyping the importance of team chemistry and camaraderie?
Of course we are.
Is that going to be part of your rip job?
No, it's not part of my rip job, but are we overhyping it? Sure. Now, if the Bucks get to the playoffs, you know, the camaraderie has to last through a season. You know, what exists in August in a team doesn't always exist in November, but it looks good. And I mean, they're 9-7 with coaches back. He's a player's coach. They got Jameis. They should be happy. What is everybody going to be complaining about?
But I still think it's legitimately because in the heat of the battle, when things aren't going well, there's adversity. You want to play for the guy next to you. I think that's big.
All right. Well, here I go. Let me rip.
I was going to go ahead. I'll just say this. Winning is the greatest perfume of all.
No question about it.
So when you're winning, whatever grievances you have with your teammate, if you're winning, I'll use baseball for example. Oakland A's, they're always getting fistfights together. The Cardinals a few years ago with Pujols and Rowland, they weren't on speaking terms, yet they won. So I just think if you win, all this camaraderie stuff is just
baseball is a little more of an individual sport. A little more of an individual sport.
That is true. But these guys are together for how long? How many games? But you got a point there.
Steve,
but
we've seen Buck teams with bad chemistry. That's all I'm saying. And I do think it matters.
All right. I'm going to divert then to that point because Chris Baker did not show up and participate in practice today. He was here. He was wearing sweatpants, first day in pads. He's the prized free agent. He can't wait to get out there with his team and show what he's worth. And he's not on the field. So he didn't show up too much for OTAs. He has he didn't get on the field right away. He was fixing his socks a lot. And you've written about how he's Iverson Baker. You coined him that. You know from your research with the
I hope he's Iverson when the games start. Yeah, you know, all right.
You know from your research with the Redskins that, quote unquote, the guy doesn't like to practice. So we're talking camaraderie. Now, we're not going to hear anybody rip Chris Baker, but what kind of camaraderie is that when the guy pegged to start, big name free agent? These guys are out there in the pouring freaking rain. Robert Ayers is out there with his, he's more of a veteran than Baker. McCoy, 5-time Pro Bowler, he's risking
Brent Grimes
turning an ankle.
Juan.
But think of that D line. That is a veteran group. And in comes the other veteran and he's not out there. Does that affect camaraderie, Ira?
Lee, if this becomes a trend, if it becomes a trend.
Isn't it a trend already?
And he lives up to the reputation that I heard that he had in the nation's capital.
From a well-placed Redskins source.
From a well-placed source. If it's a trend, he's got to be chewed out. And Ayers is the guy that's going to do it.
Yes.
It's not going to take very long. Steve.
Maybe Quan, but Ayers is the kind of guy who would
Ayers
do it.
Is the guy that's going to do
it. Did Ayers not chew out Jameis for a pick in Dallas?
I don't know about that, but he's credited by most guys for the turnaround after the 3-5 start.
Did you hear anything about that, Steve? I could have swore I heard that somewhere where Ayers basically said, Jameis, we can't have this anymore. I mean, of all people, you know, someone going after Jameis, that was Ayers. So
a guy who was on the Bucks for one season.
Yeah.
Not even a full year.
Yes, and he went after Jameis for doing that. Now, if he's going to do that to Jameis, we think he's going to do it to Iverson Baker.
Well, it's interesting because he and Baker were teammates with the Broncos very early in their career, and they're close friends. And so that might – I don't know how that might affect things, but we're talking camaraderie. We can't ignore that the top free agent signing on defense this year.
Oh, are you questioning that this is a tight team? Are you?
No, I'm not questioning.
Are you questioning my premise?
I'm saying that we can't ignore just because we think it's all rosy. We don't know for sure. So something to watch. The Baker thing.
You've had your eye on it since I came back. Since we were at the NFL
well,
owners.
Well, I was with you in Phoenix when you found this out. So okay, we'll keep an eye on it. And he has not disappointed. He didn't show up for OTAs.
You were grabbing a shrimp cocktail, as I imagine, while I was digging for information about Swaggy Baker.
That's how it would go.
What happened: you guys go to Arizona, you come back with PSDT because of his driving.
That's right.
And he's obsessed with Chris Baker.
it's something to watch. Now, is Baker hurt? Maybe. Bucks don't have to put out an injury report. He might be banged up. He might have a knee issue. He might have who knows what.
Are you feeling the same way about Jameis Winston's knee at this point?
No. Okay. No.
There's no knee issue.
No, I mean,
with James.
Cutter says there's no knee issue. There's no reason to think that there is. He obviously looks great in practice. He's practicing, so I don't. I mean, he looks great physically in practicing.
You said you have a three-prong attack. Go ahead, continue.
The Baker thing is interesting. You told us, Ira, and fans are very interested in this. That's why the indoor facility gets so much run and play and excitement. You said, typed it up here. I couldn't believe it. I had to type it up. You said the weather is cooperating. How the hell is the weather cooperating? I understand the temperature's down, but
ask the players. They love it.
Yeah, the players are all telling me, we had to ease up a little bit. We had to lighten up. I'm watching Jameis throwing a bomb to DeSean Jackson. You know what? Josh Robinson was covering him. This is just one example. The ball's underthrown. Jackson doesn't make an effort to cut back for the ball in soggy turf. Robinson goes for the pick. He wipes out like a Three Stooges episode and slides across the field. It's not cooperating.
Come on, look, DeKemper, what's going on with this?
No, I'll tell you why. Because Jameis has three new targets. He needs to figure out the timing. And when you're running on a wet field and you're trying to time the receiver, that's hard to do when these guys may not be running at optimum speed.
Yeah, and I'll have 12 more days in 106 degree heat index to develop his timing. Meanwhile, every one of these type of days, they cherish. And I would, too, if I had a helmet and shoulder pads.
Hasn't it rained like 3 out of 4 days so far? Come on.
How would you know? You were in New York. Continue.
Well, I was
here.
You
think I'm not going to fight back against this? Hey,
I was here.
Steve's got a point, but Ira, I think, is a question.
He's sharpening up his driving skills on the streets of Manhattan.
And I'm telling you, Friday and Saturday, especially Saturday, there's no question that Winston and DeSean Jackson have chemistry. Those guys were hitting.
And how was the weather?
Saturday it was cloudy. It was not raining.
It wasn't raining. Yeah.
It wasn't raining. And well, there you go. And Cutter's loving this weather, the rain. He's like, you can't duplicate it. We got to practice in it. The other day he said when it was raining, he's like, this is South Florida, meaning Miami. Alert fans, Miami doesn't have a dome. And so Cutter's loving this because he said you can't duplicate this kind of work. And even when it wasn't raining, I wrote this story, and I even asked DeSean Jackson. I had a little one-on-one with him, and he's like, yeah, we already got the chemistry because we've been working so much. I dare say that Jameis and DeSean Jackson have more chemistry than Jameis and Mike Evans.
Wow. There's a decent chance that it's going to be raining in the season opener.
Well, that's why Dirk Cutter said this is South Florida.
Can't argue that, Steve.
I can't argue it, but I don't have to agree with Dirk Cutter when he says
so
that.
So you're worried about the timing with targets.
I don't believe Cutter would – it's not that I'm saying he's lying. I don't believe Cutter would come out and say, yeah, the weather freaking sucks. One rainy day is awesome. 3 out of 4
But you're
sucks.
Saying he would not dial up this type of weather. He doesn't want to dial up.
Not as much as it's been. And, you know, coaches are worried about injury as well. A rainy day is great and coaches embrace it, but not this much.
77 degrees was awesome today, man.
And, the heat is a different animal. I don't know. My point is I don't think the weather's cooperating, Ira, and I don't have to believe it.
Okay.
So, all right, we're going to move on, Ira. But before we do, of course, another bow to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all of your work. For those who just listen to the podcast, and I've told you, Ira, more people listen to your podcast than click on an individual one of your stories, which is hard to believe, but it speaks to your sage wisdom and your personality. And the way
I should be writing better columns.
Not necessarily. And the way you smack me around. But you know what, Ira? Your columns pop Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on JoeBucksFan.com. Start following Ira on Twitter, iKaufman76, if you're not following. He doesn't tweet a lot, but when he does, it's powerful. It's thoughtful. It's funny. It's insightful.
I had some tasty ones today. I did. I had some tasty ones.
You're getting in mid-season form. You're more of a mid-season tweeter. And Ira gets a lot of engagement on his tweets because he's not followed he doesn't tweet a ton so that they're meaningful. They're impactful. Anyway, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. They present all your work. Start your car shopping search there. Ira's going to love it. And get that done. All right. So, Ira, we have to go to, and we keep this one brief, since it's old already, but we haven't tapped your sage wisdom for the podcast. Earlier, you and Lee mentioned Gerald McCoy. And those comments and McCoy's tweets after Rondae Barber said what he said. And what do you make of that?
Guys, I don't think there's been a bigger defender of Gerald McCoy in the local media than me. I've been consistent about it. He's an excellent player. Am I going to be presenting him for a bust in Canton? Probably not. Probably not. But that takes away nothing from McCoy's effectiveness. He's arguably their best player. You could argue Mike Evans at this point. You might argue McCoy. However, and I'm going to put that word however, and I don't even like to do it, but I think we've had enough drama. We've had enough drama with drawing attention, coming out in April and saying three guys at the Pro Bowl say, I got to pick my game up, I'm not good enough. Then when Rondé Barber basically says his own words back to him, you know, we think he bristled at it. When I don't think Rondé Barber said anything that was off base. And I don't think he meant to demean Gerald McCoy. The bathrobe with the slippers, the kimono, the this, the that.
Where's your kimono?
Just play football. You're a darn good player. He's been very durable since year two when he had two different bicep injuries. People thought he was brittle. He's not brittle. In fact, I would argue he's played a few times when he shouldn't have played. Just because he's trying to help his team. So I think if we can put this soap opera behind us, and he should be better with Baker next to him, you know, and if Spence picks his game up.
If Baker.
Yeah. So the next time we talk about Gerald McCoy, guys, it's got to be about him making a strip sack or a tackle in the backfield. That's where I stand with that. Enough soap opera.
All right.
How do you like
that? The sage has spoken. We said we'd keep it quick, so we'll leave your sage. I won't slap you around on that one. Okay, Ira. Let's head over to Mr. Gruden. Chucky comes into the One Buck Place.
Yeah, we got a big thing on Wednesday.
Tomorrow. And now I want to ask you your thoughts about him entering the Ring of Honor. But, you know, now we're flashing back. I wrote up a story months ago that Chucky delayed his Ring of Honor news conference, even though he lives down the street. Delayed it so he could get on Hard Knocks and showcase himself.
He told me personally 2 weeks ago in his office.
Chucky's
that
office?
That it was the Bucks' decision to have it on August 2nd.
So you were hanging out with Chucky. Talk to us.
I was. First of all, I bunked into three things because it's so dark in that damn room over there. All he's got is his laptop over there. But I know where his office is, and I go in unannounced, knock on the door, and his aide de camp is a guy named Mark Ortega. Who was here way back when?
Is that the guy that was hugging him on the sidelines of the Super Bowl?
I think so.
I think you know who you're talking about.
He came from Oakland with him.
Yeah.
You know, he was an administrative assistant. And so he's working with
John. A.D. Camp.
And I got to tell you, every time I've been in Gruden's office, which is about maybe half a dozen times in the last year or two, he's always got somebody coming in as a guest. I mean, always.
What do you mean, like a coach?
It could be a player. It could be a coach.
Seriously.
Yeah. A personnel guy. The guy is a steady stream of visitors.
Now, didn't Shiano, wasn't he in Chucky's inner circle after Shiano was fired?
I believe at one point he was.
Yeah, him and Chip Kelly.
I believe at one point he was.
Actually, I found out about that. Shiano stopped going to Gruden's office because the temperature was at 73 degrees. and nobody watches film at that temperature.
And, you know, a couple of times I've been in there where he's been totally preoccupied. You know, with the watch breaking film down to the next opponent. He starts on Monday night. Tuesday night. He gets back in town, you know, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he started Tuesday night, you know, looking at tapes of the Eagles, for the next Monday night game.
What's the biggest fish you've seen come in there? Biggest name?
Josh Freeman.
Really?
Josh Freeman.
Freeman showed up at Chucky's office.
Freeman came in last year.
Last year.
I was there.
No, not when he was playing, but last year.
Last year.
Wow.
Josh Freeman came in to see John Gruden.
Can you share?
Well, I was in Ortega's office talking to him, and the next thing I knew, Gruden walked Josh Freeman back into Ortega's office. Gruden must have told him, hey, this clown from the Tampa Tribune sitting in Ortega's office. Freeman's all smiles.
Pleasantries?
Pleasant. Looked good, but he was out of football at that point. And guess what? A year later, he's still out of football. If anybody deserves a second chance, I think it's Josh Freeman. There's been 787 articles written about Colin Kaepernick. Nobody ever mentions Josh Freeman. He's 29 years old. He's never been hurt. Lee, give him a chance. Give the man a chance. He goes to a team. He lasts 2 weeks. They cut him. They don't even let him try. So,
well, there's got to be a reason for that.
Got to be a reason.
Bring a guy in with the goal to get rid of him in 2 weeks.
You know, forget about that Vikings debacle. That was never going to happen, that Monday night game. That was horrible. But
were you privy to any conversation between Gruden and
Absolutely not. Closed door meeting.
Have an important question about you and Gruden, Ira. First, this is the first we've learned that you were hanging out with Gruden a couple of weeks ago.
Some things I keep to myself over there, Steven.
I know there's plenty. That's why you're the sage. You know all.
It might have happened before I joined Joe Buck's fan.
Last year's.
We didn't know about 2 weeks ago's meeting. Well, first of all, does Gruden know you're there? Are you like hiding in the shadows? You going in the front door, the back door?
Front door. Always locked. You know.
Secret
you ring
knock?
The buzzer.
Is there a secret knock?
Well, no. Now I've realized that the buzzer doesn't work. He shut down the buzzer. So you got to call. I got to call Gruden himself or Ortega. And say, hey, I'm at the front door. Can I come in? And just last time, a couple of weeks ago, he buzzed me in.
Snacks? What kind of snacks?
I stayed about an hour. Most of the time, I'm talking to Ortega because Gruden's so busy.
What kind of snacks you got? Snacks, drinks?
Snacks,
what's he got in there?
Absolutely not. I mean, you might have some alfalfa sprouts or something. There's no Dubonnet. There's no Riesling. There's no beets, I can tell you that. I never see Gruden eat. I've been around this guy for 10 years. I never see the guy eat. It's unbelievable. I don't know when he eats. I don't know what he eats. But I've never seen him scarf down any food.
Wait a minute.
He got fired at an eatery.
I thought in January.
No, he was at the movies.
I thought he was at a restaurant.
I believe he was at the movies with his wife when he got word that he was canned, I think.
Don't you tell the story that you talked to a manager of an eatery. We won't mention
the
name. Yeah,
when I don't even think it's there anymore. When he was fired, he was eating a dinner at a local place in
Northampton.
Sort of the north end of West Chase.
Okay.
And he was waiting. He was going to be going to the movies, like movie night with his wife, and he got the call.
It was a Friday night.
He was at dinner. So, Ira, okay, so you're in with Gruden. You're chatting with him. You know this thing is coming up. He told you the Glazers insisted this was the date.
I asked him, I said, why wait until August 2nd when this announcement was made months ago? And he said it was a Buck decision. He did say that. So that shoots down your theory, which I love to do, Izbits. It's very easy.
I don't believe Gruden, but
go
ahead.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel to shoot down an Izbits theory. I mean,
I'm fascinated with this meeting you had with Gruden.
Which one?
Well, I mean, the most recent one. I don't know if he was open to you about this or not, but there are rumors, and the person who told me this, he would know. He claims a couple years ago, Chucky was offered, they gauged interest. The Glazers reached out.
I was also told that.
Okay.
Not by Gruden, but I was also told
that. They reached out to gauge interest, and he was not interested in coming back. And then he went and hired Lovey. We know
he hadn't quite gotten over his dismissal.
Well, that brings up my second question. What is the relationship now between the Glazers and Chuck? I mean, obviously, you would think it's good because he's in the Ring of Honor, but that doesn't mean anything. Everything's hunky-dory. From your perception, from talking to Chuck, is everything smoothed out yet or not?
Well, I think there was natural bitterness, Steve. Why wouldn't there be? I mean, you go 9-7, 9-7. We're extolling Dirk Cutter as coach of the century. Gruden just did it 2 years in a row. He gets his walking papers. So you put yourself in John Gruden's shoes. He won a Super Bowl. He won 3 division titles. And because they lost their last 4 games of 08 for various reasons, of which Monty Kiffin's right in the middle of it, and Derek Brooks wasn't 100%, and that played a big role down the stretch. The irony of the Buck collapse in December of 2008, the offense was pretty good those last 4
Daniel
games.
Bryant.
There was a game against Atlanta where they only scored 10 points. Mm-hmm. Other than that, including the game in Charlotte where Bryant went crazy, the Bucks offense was good. Mm-hmm. And so you could say Gruden was doing his job at that point, and defense was terrible. Very, very much atypical Buck defense down there, starting with that Carolina game. Yeah. They got run over.
Literally run over
in that game. So anyway, back to Gruden. A lot of bitterness, Steve, and I don't fault him for it. I mean,
still,
he wasn't even fired the day after the season. It was like a week later. There's no reason close to a week later.
It was like a week before the Super Bowl. Because a couple days after he got fired, Tampa was hosting the Super Bowl with Pittsburgh, Arizona? They were hosting that Super Bowl because, everybody thought, Super Bowl media week, Chucky's going to be there and Friday night.
Steve, there's no reason in his mind to think he was getting fired. None. And then you couple that with guys that they hired in his place, like Raheem Morris. No disrespect to Raheem Morris, but he hadn't even been a coordinator at that time. And he's replacing John Gruden, Super Bowl winning coach. Then he sees Schiano, no NFL experience. Then he sees Lovie Smith, who he deemed, barely successful in Chicago. And we saw what happened with the Lovie Smith experiment.
Well, then again, the Glazers reached out to him before they hired Lovie.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
That's the speculation. The speculation is...
Well, let's back up here.
Speculation is that there wasn't an olive branch reached out to Gruden.
You just said Gruden, essentially what you said was Gruden was not very impressed with Lovie Smith, is what you just said.
I don't think he's a Lovie Smith fan, no.
You know, Lovie was fired after a 10-6 season, so I'm not defending Lovie Smith here. The guy got to a Super Bowl. He certainly wasn't a bad
coach.
And
Lovie Smith was not on Gruden's staff, even in 02, so you got to remember that. There's no camaraderie there like he's got with Tomlin, Marinelli. You know, that's missing.
Interesting. So, Ira, what do you expect from Gruden tomorrow?
I think he's going to be very humble. I think he's going to be emotional because his parents are going to be sitting right in that front row. Some of his kids, if not all three boys, will be sitting there. This is a heck of an honor. Your name is now going to be memorialized basically forever. And the way it ended, less than a decade ago, maybe Gruden was thinking this day would never going to come. Now, look, you guys know me. I've been arguing, when's Tony Dungy's day going to come? But having said that, I got no beef with Gruden going in before Dungy. I don't have any beef about that. All I want to make sure is Dungy gets taken care of, and sooner rather than later. And I think that is going to happen. But my argument is not that Dungy needed to go in before Gruden. I'm not saying
So you're suggesting is fans that will be watching this press conference ceremony on Buccaneers.com that you would not be surprised to see Chucky shed a tear. Of all people, Chucky.
I'll tell you what, I think it's emotional because this is his hometown.
He'll get whimsical.
This is where his parents always, have always lived. His father was a Bucks assistant coach.
I'd cry too
if
if I didn't eat anything. The guy never eats. I'd be crying myself.
You know what? Maybe they'll bring him in the cafeteria. They'll cook up a chicken for him. But I think it's emotional. Izbitz is going to be there. He's going to be the first guy on the microphone when they pass the microphone around. And he's going to ask him about Swaggy Baker. He wants Gruden. Now, wait a minute. Now, Gruden, as his role as an NFL Monday Night Analyst, legitimate to ask him any NFL questions, including the Bucks. And, I don't want him saying this is off topic. This is my day. He's got to answer it, and I think he will. I think he's high on this team.
Do you think the Bucks will let the press conference veer that way?
Well, I don't think that's going to be the bulk of the questions, but there's going to be some questions about what he thinks about the Bucks and Buck personnel.
You're not talking a sidebar. You're talking at the podium.
I'm talking about at the podium. Izbitz is going to be free to ask whatever he wants, and you never know where Steve's mind is.
Well, knowing how those auditorium press conferences work, I don't see the Bucks sort of stepping in saying you can't ask about the team. They're usually sort of relaxed.
One of the things that's going to come up is he coming back to the NFL? That's got to come up.
It will be asked by somebody, I'm sure. But I'll tell you, Ed, if I get the microphone, if it's coming my way, I am going to ask him point blank if he received that olive branch from Team Glazer to coach this team again. And
I'm not sure he'll answer it. I'll tell you what his answer is going to be, though, when you ask him about is he going to come back to the NFL? He's going to say nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And by that, he means he's going to be prepared, but he hasn't made his mind up.
Your former colleague.
But he does miss it, Lee.
I'm sure.
He
misses the camaraderie, I think. I don't think he misses the 80-hour week.
I think he misses the competition.
Yeah.
I think he missed the competition.
I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here because the guy told me, I won't mention his name. One of your former colleagues at the Tribune, we were talking about Chucky in the recent news. Was he or was he not interested in coming back? Obviously, Florio had a few choice words to say about that. At any rate, your former colleague said, he told me today, he's like, you have no idea how many wild goose chases Ira had to go on. This rumor, he's going here. That rumor, he's going there. And every goose chase, it was the same answer.
Including some colleges that he was rumored to be linked to. That turned out to be non-stories.
I'm just fascinated that you knock on the door, you press the buzzer, you yell, hey, John.
The buzzer doesn't work.
You pound on the door, Chucky.
No snacks.
So you got to text them.
I can't believe you were there for an hour. No snacks. Did you run out to get something?
Not even a raisin. You guys know what I think about raisins.
Well played, Mr. Kaplan.
My friend. I'm looking forward to Wednesday with Gruden back in the building. He's still a polarizing figure
around here.
For every Buck fan who adores him for bringing the Vince Lombardi trophy home, and you can never take that away. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about, yeah, ultimately.
So what if somebody asks him?
They don't like the way it ended. You know, some bad draft picks or whatever. But I'll tell you what. When you separate Gruden, the personnel guy, and Gruden, the coach, Gruden as the coach, he's a heck of a coach.
Well, you know what you said about the divided fan base about how it ended? Initially, I think you're spot on, but as time has phased away and people looked at what has happened since, Raheem Morris, Schiano, Lovey, they're thinking, you know what, the Glazers made one hell of a mistake.
Lee. I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think there was so much of an uproar that Gruden was fired at the time. I think it was more who they replaced him with, because I think everybody paying attention at the time could make the leap that, gosh, this guy doesn't have the pedigree of the guy we just fired.
And as soon as they fired him, they did the veteran purge right away. Right away.
Right away. And the irony.
Brooks, goodbye. Dunn, goodbye.
Hilliard, goodbye.
Juno.
Cato Juno. The quarterback himself was gone. And a good guy who performed well here in Jeff Garcia.
Yes.
My favorite thing and the irony of when Raheem Morris took over his opening news conference, I probably used it 75 times on Joe Bucks Fan that year, through the year. The great irony was Raheem takes the podium, and Lord knows who coached him up what to say, because they were way off the mark. He gets up there and says, "We're going to stay the course." Stay the course.
We just made a change.
We just fired a Super Bowl head coach. You're 32 years old. This is a revamp, and you're going to stay the course? What the hell are you talking
That's
about?
Classic Raheem. Classic Raheem.
I mean, stay the course. He said it like... I couldn't believe it.
I still got your beat, Izvitz, because when he went on and on about the race to 10, which is all about, we did our statistical analysis. If you get the 10 wins in this league, you're going to make the playoffs. And I'm sitting there with my arms folded. He goes, "You got something to say, Ira?" I go, "I only got one question, Raheem. Does that include the preseason?" He goes, "You're killing me, Kaufman. You're killing me."
Well, the best presser I ever heard from Raheem, and you know, Raheem takes the podium. You could hear you guys were walking into the room about the same time. It was training camp. And you said to Raheem, "I saw you talking to Dumig. Whenever you're talking to Dumig, you got nothing left."
All right. You know, Raheem, he was unfiltered at the podium. So I did appreciate that.
Raheem was fantastic comedy. We got so much good stuff out of that stuff. Really, the newspapers didn't write about all the little funny stuff. You guys didn't cover
Remember Youngry?
But he's talking about how his uncles used to beat him up all the time. How
growing up in Irvington, New Jersey.
How somebody beat him up because he said his grandma looked like a bulldog. That was one of the best ones of all time. And, of course, you guys didn't write that. That's the funniest thing all day. The newspaper doesn't write the best stuff that comes out of his
mouth. Now we got a coach talking about Pocatello, Idaho. It doesn't have the same cachet.
I love the Raheem line when, you know, Styles White was being Styles White, and Raheem at the podium said, "I'll tolerate you until I replace you."
Yeah, and you know what? He got that. And you know who uses that? Mike Tomlin uses that line all the time. Yeah.
Last of some of the great Raheem stuff. I remember when he got up there talking about Sabby Piscatelli. It was about maybe one game left. Still had maybe two games left in whatever season it was. And he says, "Oh, in the offseason, we're going to fix Sabby. We're going to fix him." Fix him? He goes like, "Can't we just get somebody who's better?"
What, fix him like a veterinarian would?
Yeah, like we're going to fix him.
All right, what else you got, Steve?
Last one before we wrap up the podcast, right, as we push an hour on your podcast, Ira. Doug Martin. Jason Light, smart guy. Knows the situation with Martin. We know how Light has spoken about Martin leading up to this season, ever since January in the commentary. We all know how that's gone. Regular listeners here know that stuff as well. Light goes to ESPN. He knows he wasn't talking to the Bradenton Herald, okay? He goes to ESPN and he says, "Doug Martin, no guarantee he's going to be here. No guarantee he's going to be here and, you know, blah, 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 and no guarantee, and you know we can't say he's even going to start when if he comes back." Come on.
This is a very awkward situation, Lee. It's a very sensitive situation. It's obvious to the three of us, being around Cutter and Light, they don't want to say anything definitive until they have to, and they don't have to.
And that's
for
October,
another 2 months,
or end of September. Yes,
that's just the way it is.
Yes,
you're not going to hear anything that you can hang your hat on about Doug Martin until the end of September, and Isn't that smart strategy from a Bucks standpoint? I think it is.
Not so much smart. I don't disagree, but it also is cutter. And what I mean by that is, you know, we were talking earlier in this podcast about these players are having such a good time, blah, 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 blah. And I talked to some players. They said this comes down from cutter. Mike Evans told me he's a player's coach. So a player's coach, you expect to throw a guy like Martin, who's going through the issues he's going through, throw him under the bus, like, no, the SOB isn't going to be here in about 2 weeks. We're just showcasing him to trade him or what have you.
You got, Steve, at this point, you got to keep everybody up and enthused. And you're not going to close the door on Doug Martin if there's a possibility you're going to need him when the Giants come to town in week four. And when you're the other running backs are reading all these quotes, the Rodgers, the Sims, you know, the rookie, and Barber, and you got to keep them up.
Steve,
I am sticking to my guns.
You're the stage. Why did Light even put that out there? Why? Why does he go public? That's my question. Why does he go public?
He was asked a direct question. Did you want him to say that Doug Martin's definitely going to be on the 53-man roster a month into the season?
Well, first of all, I appreciate Light's candor.
That's a bigger headline than what he did say.
What does every coach basically say when he's asked about a guy on his team? He says, he's on the roster. He's our guy. We love him. He's here for a reason. He's our player.
They got 90 guys.
Why didn't Light say that? Why?
He has yet to say that.
Why didn't he say he's one of our 90? We love him. He's here. We're counting on him.
I said it in my column, and I'm sticking with it, the Kemper. I don't think Cutter and Light know the answer right now. They don't know what's going to happen.
To your point about Doug.
And I still think how the Bucks run the ball in the first 3 weeks of the season, and if they're 2-1 or 3-0 with the Giants coming to town, is going to, in large part, shape Doug Martin's future.
No, I agree with that. If Doug Martin runs for 100 yards against the Giants, I will buy you a beet salad with a side of Riesling.
You don't even think he'll be on the roster, necessarily.
I wouldn't put money on it. I wouldn't put money on it.
Now, he's all rocked up. He's in great shape. I'm not drawing any conclusions from underwear football, gentlemen. in your terms?
You hear that noise, Ira? Noise? That's the bus that just drove over Doug Martin because the GM threw him under the bus. I mean, we could argue this all day long.
Well, you were tilting in that direction. Anyway.
No. I was fully tilted in that direction. But
no pun intended.
They are not. I got to figure out the pun. I'm a little slow on the take. But
tilted.
Tilted.
So why don't they try to deal him now?
I got you.
Why don't they try to deal him now? In your mind?
Well, maybe they are. Maybe this is a step. I mean, no one's going to take his contract. So why would you deal him? I don't know. I just think that the GMs don't say that kind of thing. They wouldn't say that about anyone else on this team in that way.
Oh, about a veteran.
Yeah. They just took Martin off the facade of the stadium. He just ripped down the guy's image. He's not. I don't know. We don't have to go there.
You don't like the way the signs are looking for Doug Martin. Yeah.
Well, I already didn't like him, but I think Light going public with that type of commentary saying Doug Martin needs maybe he's one of these guys who needs a carrot. Needs a carrot.
Now, I'll say this to back up what Steve was saying.
What is he, a rabbit?
There are people out there, misguided though they may be, think Doug Martin is a potential trade. I don't see it. Let's take that at face value. He's a trade project. Well, Light just destroyed whatever trade value he had.
And I'll add one more thing, guys, and I think you back me up on this, even you. How do we know Doug Martin only failed one drug test? How do we know
Ta-da!
That? How do we know that, Isbitz?
No, we don't know that at all.
We don't know that.
Over the years, anyway, we don't know.
So in terms of the trust factor, you know.
You know this better than I are. I don't. That's why I'm asking. I seem to recall that if you get popped for a drug test, that's actually the second time. That's not the first time.
Yeah.
Am I inaccurate with that or not?
I don't think you're inaccurate.
Well, no. PEDs, it's a one-shot deal. There's no warning on the PED end of it, which is officially what Martin was.
Okay, if it was something more sinister.
Right. Something more sinister. But, and we're going to kill it here, Ira, because we could argue it all day, and it was the theme of my podcast on Monday, so I don't want to rehash, and this is your podcast. All right, Calvin, we're going to leave it right there. So much more we could talk about Martin, but what I do think, last thing I'm going to say is so much of what Martin is, the way this goes here is how they handle him in the preseason. He's not anybody's trade interest until he looks great in the preseason because he's coming off a crap-ass year, and that everybody forgets about that, and we just got to mention that. And the one nugget, I know you love nuggets, if you wipe out Jaquizz Rodgers' best game, which was, I believe, 26 carries for 150 yards
against San Francisco.
San Francisco. If you wipe that out, take it off the record, he averaged 3.9 yards a carry last year. Doug Martin, 2.9. And that's wiping out his best game against the crap team. So, I mean, that's a huge difference if you think about it.
And if you take Rodgers away from the Buck equation last year, they averaged 3.3 yards. 3.3 yards? Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's disgraceful.
And that was in your fantastic column. Of course, your next column is Wednesday. It's going to focus on John Gruden.
And the next time we talk, we'll be able to talk about the Gruden press conference.
We'll talk about Gruden. And I think a great podium question would be, why do you let Ira in your office? What's that all about? You
got don't think the Kemper won't ask that.
You got no snacks, John.
And fix your buzzer, too, Gruden. Fix the buzzer.
You think somebody has the balls to say to John, hey, John, the Glazers fired you, and now 9 years later, you're in the Ring of Honor. What doesn't add up there? Because he'd love that question.
If anybody's going to ask it, it's going to be Isbitt. Now, get out of here.
Now, I'm asking the other one. All right, get out of here, Ira. Do your thing. FanRetreat.com/Miami. Hang out with Ira before the Dolphins game. Free beer, free food. This is the way Ira rolls. Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. A lot of fun stuff. Thanks for tuning in.